Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo. Of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, that felt like the most enjoyable yo of the season for me. It felt like, for real, there was real reason to do the yo today. Like, they won 2 or 3 from the Mets. I know it's not the end of the world, like the greatest thing that ever happened, but, like, you know, after the series earlier this year, after the playoffs last year, like, that was a really freaking awesome series win this weekend. I really enjoyed this weekend, man. How you doing, pal?
Oh, man. And they kind of took it to the Mets. I'm just going to, we got to call it like it is. Outside of Saturday, which we'll get into. And I tell you what, a bit of a bloodbath. It was, I mean, just seeing the balls fly out of CBP like that. It was actually a pretty triggering experience. It was like, Don't want to see that. It almost ruined my weekend. But thankfully, they came out yesterday. And, like, I think the thing that stuck out the most to me is they could say all they want. That was a series in June. They could say all they want. It didn't matter. It's just baseball. It's a daily grind, yada, yada, yada. They didn't play that way. They played like that series meant something. And they had something they needed to return to the Mets after what happened in April. And I don't know if it swung momentum completely back on their side, but I think from the standpoint of at least getting that little Mets thing behind them, I think that they did that this weekend. And I appreciated how into it they were. I appreciated the emotion that they showed. I appreciated Lizardo. I mean, he struck out Soto. After going up and in, he went up and in, which I loved. I was dying for a little up and in. And they, blew 98 right past him.
I mean, even in the first inning, he showed it when he struck out Alonso in that spot. Like, he was feeling it, and he was into it and feeling the emotion. It felt like a big game, man. It did. Like, this whole series, we always do that, felt like the playoffs, but it kind of did. Like, it really felt like it mattered. Like, it was a meaningful series, and the players felt like they understood that and played that way, you know?
And I thought the fans did, too. I thought the fans treated it like a playoff series. I mean, they started bringing out some of the chants from the postseason. Like, it had a whole big game feel. You want to talk about emotion? I mean, Wheels, he struck out Soto, too. Dude, and I don't know what he said. I couldn't tell if he was saying it to Soto.
I can't blame him. I mean, he was saying it to the ump, I think. I mean, that was it. That was just a trash performance by that umpire. I mean, I don't blame him at all. Like, that, there was no consistency with the calls. Like, one same spot, the ball's a ball or strike. It's like, how am I supposed to know what I'm doing here?
Yeah. And just trying to evaluate, both clubs and see how they match up. Obviously, the Mets top of the lineup is really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lindor, Nimmo, Alonso, Soto. Vientos had a tough year, but, when he gets back, I assume he's going to be all right. It is brutal after that top. Like, you talk about the Phillies bottom of the lineup being subpar. That Mets bottom of the lineup is just dreadful. So, And it looks like hopefully some of the Mets voodoo magic with some of their pitching is falling apart.
Griffin Canning and David Peters and all these guys having Cy Young seasons. Like, rein it in, okay?
Let's calm down. I'll admit, like, a huge Peters.
Whatever his name is, Jared, whatever their pitching coach guy is, like the godsend, the best pitching coach in the history of baseball off like 2 months of baseball. Like, can we chill the hell out a little bit, please?
Yeah. So, you know, they've totally rebounded after the 9 out of 10 stretch. They're playing good baseball. There's real belief. And I think the city needed that series this weekend, James. I think they can say, hey, great job beating the Blue Jays and you've done a good job against Braves and blah, 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 blah. But there was Mets, like, there was something about the Mets that I think this city needed to see them beat them before they were like, all right, bleep it, we're all in.
Yeah, I think that series, it was big for the players. You know, it's important for them to feel like they can beat the Mets and all that type of stuff. This was a series that mattered for us. This was a series for the fans because, look, when the Mets come to town, like, really ever since they won 101 games a few years ago, obviously playoffs last year, series this year, but, like, other than a few moments, they've really had the Phillies number the last few years. Mm-hmm. You know, they've played us really well. And it has felt, I mean, your guy on your show, Spike, was talking about, you know, until this weekend, they had been the Phillies daddy. And it's like annoying when I hear that, but he's not wrong. Like, he's not wrong. The Mets have had the Phillies number. And I think as a fan base, we've felt that. And I, you know, no greater example of our anger and frustration than the playoff series last year. I think to see this team win the way they did too, you know, obviously the pitching, you know, on the nights they won was great, but to see the bats come through, to see some big hits and big spots, that obviously, you know, it ended up being the play of the year with the way it finished with Casty and Romito at the plate, easily the play of the year, but Stott getting that double in that spot to hit that double with the bases loaded and break the game open, like for Casty to add to it, for them last night to keep pouring on, they get the 1-0 lead on the Schwarber bomb and then keep pouring on, Otto, that big hit, Sosa, that homer, like they kept adding. It felt like exactly what we wanted to see from this team last October. We're seeing in this series, and I think for the fan base to see that after last October, I think it did allow people to kind of start to get excited about this team in a way they really hadn't allowed themselves to.
Yeah, and I think their brand of baseball matters. They're not slugging the ball all over the ballpark. They're really not. Mm-mm. Besides, dude, Sosa going 433 or whatever to center field was crazy.
Hilarious. He smoked.
Didn't think he had that kind of pop.
Yeah. Well, and he was struggling coming in. We didn't really talk about it because he doesn't play all the time, but I think it was like 3 for 39 coming in. It was the stretch he had been on, and obviously a massive day yesterday.
Yeah. But they're actually doing a much better job of going gap to gap and being able to, like, I think what, 2 weeks ago, they were scoring a lot by just having an exorbitant amount of singles. It was like disgusting the amount of singles that they were hitting.
Pass the baton, baby.
What do they have? They had back-to-back games of like 16 hits.
Yes.
And four runs, it felt like.
Yeah. Well, they had the one game where it was like 15 out of 16 hits were singles.
Yep. So what they're at least doing now is they're mixing in a double every once in a while. They're getting the balls in the gaps and they're scoring in different ways than just the long ball. Obviously, Schwarber went yard last night. That was great. Sosa went yard. But it's not been, they're not scoring in that kind of way where like the Mets could on Saturday where they hit six home runs. It's just not seven. How this offense is. Was it seven? Wow.
It was seven. Yeah, well, seven solo shots. How crazy is that?
And I mean, you want to talk about Saturday night, blood starts boiling a little bit. Oh, when Alvarez, hit that home run and he was like walking down the third baseline, I said, someone's got to wear one tomorrow night. Someone's got to wear one tomorrow night. And then guess what? Francisco Alvarez. Get ready to learn Syracuse, pal. See ya.
He wore one, all right. A different guy wore one, but he wore one.
See ya. So, dude, I'm just so happy. I'm so that felt like a big weight kind of lifted off of all of our shoulders. It really did. And, you know, I think Lizardo's interesting from the standpoint of he seems to shove against good teams. I mean,
and feel the moment, you know?
Yes. And I think we learned that early on with that Dodgers start on that Friday night at the City Connects where he dominated that outing as well. And it's really, you could ask this question and 9 out of 10 or, you know, 10 different people would have 10 different answers, but like, who's your game two starter? I mean,
I know, dude. Dude, if you had asked me like Thursday of last week, I was like, it's clearly Ranger Suarez. What are we talking about? It's obviously Ranger. Then Sanchez gives the 8 one-run innings in Miami. I'm like, well, it's probably Sanchez, if we're being honest. I mean, you know, he's probably the best. And then I see Lazarus here. I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. I mean, he's clearly like the ceiling's the highest. Like, I don't, you know, it's just like, man, it's really, and they're all lefties, which is just, it's thrilling to watch. Like they are.
Sure.
They're all awesome, dude. I mean, this top four, they have, I mean, Nola, Abel, Painter, whatever, we'll figure out. We'll talk about Abel on Saturday and all that. But this top four they have with Wheeler and the three lefties is, I mean, it's special, Jack. It's really fun to watch on a night-to-night basis, and it should give you hope that with those guys taking the ball, those being the only guys theoretically who are going to start a playoff game for you, you've got a chance to win every time they take the ball.
Yeah, and I think there's something about Lizardo in that ballpark. I think he has an extra level of juice. It was like he went back to Miami, and there's a cold shiver down his spine.
You're right, dude. It's so funny.
He's like, I don't want to feel this again.
There's no one here. Oh, my God. Yeah.
No. I escaped. So I think maybe there's something to that. Jesus spent one day back in Miami. It was like, no. Get me back up. And he is one of those guys, and it's – I'm not saying he's like an ace or whatever, but he really is one of those guys. Like, if you have to get him in the first two innings. Because then he usually finds his arm slot, and it's pretty much game over if he can get into a rhythm. Because the first two innings yesterday, he threw 45 pitches, it felt like. I mean, mm-hmm. If it wasn't 45, it was at least 38. And then you look up, and he started being really efficient.
Mowing him down, yeah.
Yeah, because when he gets – him and Wheeler both have that thing where if guys just start fouling them – the game plan against Lizardo and Wheeler should just be foul ball them to death. I mean, that's – that Wheeler didn't have his command on Friday night, but when Wheeler traditionally struggles, it's when they just can just foul him off. And then he's all of a sudden, I mean, he only went, what, five on Friday night?
Yeah, he went five. It was so, like 98 pitches or 97 pitches, something like that. It was a lot. Yeah,
which you never see, which made, which was why they had to stretch Lizardo an extra inning yesterday, even though, you know, he's over 100 pitches. The bullpen was, I mean, we'll get to Abel, but like the bullpen was totally taxed. So it was just gutsy all around. It was gutsy all around from the Phils this weekend.
Yeah, and like to your point with the bullpen, you know, Romano comes in that spot. Awesome work getting out of that and just kind of ending any real threat in that game. You know, Kirkering has, you know, he's on his way to Pavel Bond. You know, they've been getting some better pitching there. We'll obviously get into all that.
Dude, so I've been thinking about that bit. Imagine when it gets if it could just get to like five away. Like imagine
it'd be the most epic thing of all time. It'd be unreal.
The slow
we could play
countdown.
the audio of you doing this thing. Yeah, it was 4 years ago. The Jack, you know, like it'd be amazing. Yeah. Let's go.
Come on, like I said, I'm not a traditional. I'm not a just get a traditional closer guy. Except for this bit, I want them to go traditional closer and let Orion Kirkering cook. Let him cook.
Just whatever it takes. Get Pavelbon off the leaderboard. Yeah. Now, look, it was prior to the series, I was already kind of, you know, in on like committing to this team. But I think that what they've done over the last 2 weeks and really, you know, this series and the way they've played without Harper, and we'll get to the Harper update. He talked during the game last night, you know, still like basically who the hell knows is basically what I took away from what Harper had to say. We'll get into it.
Great.
But I do think that, look, we talked, you know, a couple of weeks ago when they were struggling and all that about and how unsure we were at that point. But, you know, this team had a month and a half to basically say to Dave Dombrowski, hey, help us. Like, we deserve you to go out and really go for it and help this team and add to this team. And so far, they're making their case. Like, they are, like, this has been an important stretch for this team, both what we've seen the last 2 weeks and the next month, because look, we know, we understand where they are as an organization. We've gone back and forth and stuff too. We know how important these prospects are. We know that you don't want to be stuck in the wilderness for 11 years again, but you know, when this team keeps doing what they're doing and this group is here, and you look around the league, and honestly, even watching the NBA Finals last night, you know, and I know it's a different sport, but seeing Halliburton go down and you know, it reminds you, it is a war of attrition. Like, so many guys will go down over the course of this baseball season, over the course of the playoffs. It is about being healthy and firing at the right time. Like, this team can absolutely win the World Series. Like, they can absolutely win it. This month is going to help inform Dave and Middleton on how much they want to commit to trying to win it. It's massive.
So I thought it was interesting how I think sometimes you got to get tells from the broadcast. And I think we do
totally,
that.
Totally, dude.
We do that a lot in, we do that a lot with football. I feel like you can get a good tell of how the team feels about themselves because of the meetings that they have during the week and whatnot. And then it gets brought onto the broadcast. And I thought last night it was a lot of, this group knows that this is their time's running out together, essentially. And I did like how Buster mentioned Luis Robert and then immediately went into also Rhys Hoskins, which I don't think is, I think that's interesting as well.
Brewers just need to stop winning games. Like, enough already, Brewers. Like, you're playing way too good at baseball, but anyway.
Yes. Yes, Brewers, just chill out and let us just bring Rhys home.
Rhys getting into fights with other, I mean, like, Rhys is the exact energy I want right now. I mean, he is bringing it.
Oh, yeah, he's fighting Wilson Contreras.
I love it, dude. I'm all like, yes. Yeah.
But I just, and the tone of the broadcast last night was they're going to go for it. They're like, he said that he actually kind of poo-pooed, but he made it seem like they are prioritizing a real bat over a bullpen piece. Like, that bullpen thing, he threw it, like, I think only threw it at the end. And he was like, yeah, and everyone expects him to go get a bullpen piece. But the first thing he mentioned was about going and trying to acquire another impact bat for this team. You could argue if Luis Robert's an impact bat. Yeah, totally, I mean, understand it.
Yeah. Byron Buxton, totally, another couple homers yesterday.
Just saying. All right, so I have a hypothetical Buxton trade. I don't know if they'd say yes, but it feels close.
Okay.
It would also hurt, but Tyeke Crawford and Abel for Buxton and Griffin Jacks.
I mean, I think that is a fair trade. You know what I mean? Now, I think you're giving up a lot. I mean, you're giving up a lot for a guy in Buxton who, you know, is a real question mark if he's going to stay on the field. But I do think that's fair value, especially because, you know, you're assuming that you're, now how many years of control does Buxton have? It can't be that many. I feel like he's been around for a while.
I think he's paid through his age 34 season, and he's 31 now. Wow. So I think
So a few more years left. So he signed a contract then. So he's obviously not on the arbitration. Okay. All right.
No. Yeah. He signed like $100 million contract. Okay. So he is up after 28.
Okay. All right. So he gets a few years and, you know, it was always
2028, Phil's.
Yeah, I know. Right. I think that's a fair trade. It's given up a lot.
And by the way, he can go play left in the end of that, towards the end of that contract. But the upside is the upside. I don't know. Listen, we're all a little geeked up with the way the Phillies are playing right now. So it's like,
and we should be. It's exciting.
Let's see a trade package we can throw out there. So
it's exciting.
Now Abel, official comment on Abel.
Yeah. So tough night for Mick. You know, the back-to-back-to-backers were a tough pill to swallow in the moment. Yes.
I would agree. He's developing. Everyone take a chill pill. I mean, what is, like, come on. What are we doing here?
Is he 24 years old? Like, chill out.
23.
He's a baby.
Now, he might have a home run problem.
It does seem like when it goes bad, the ball seems to fly out of the ballpark. Yes.
Yeah. So I know Pitching Ninja put out about tipping pitches. I don't think he was tipping pitches, if I'm going to be completely honest.
Just every Philly tipping pitches when they struggle.
Yeah, like, I know. Oh,
well, I guess he's tipping pitches. Yeah, so.
Must be tipping pitches. I don't think he was tipping pitches. I think teams have now watched him for a couple starts, and I think it's very clear what the plan should be. If you see spin, don't swing at it.
Yeah, and just wait.
Don't swing at it.
Yep.
He can't throw a changeup. Like, the changeup, if he can spot a changeup, great. like you tip your cap. But if I was a betting man, I would say he's not going to be able to spot his changeup. So I think teams are just saying, I'm sitting on everything. I'm spitting on spin. If he can locate it, great. Again, tip your cap. If he can locate a changeup, great. Tip your cap. I'm waiting for the fastball. And he doesn't have super, super great command of his fastball. Like, I think when he first came up, it was actually better than it looked at Lehigh Valley. And now he's just missing way more. And the hitters aren't missing it. I think it's a really good fastball. I think it's a possible plus pitch. But it's only that if you can get the other stuff around the strike zone or in the strike zone. So I also think he needs something to get in on lefties, because I don't know. I think when he gets lefties out right now, it's damn near a miracle. I mean, it's like watching Kirkring before Kirkring got the sinker and really developed that fastball of his. And now he's got two different fastballs, which is huge. So, yeah, I just think that he's not a finished product. We know that. He has a home run problem. I think there's still a lot of pluses, but what you're seeing right now, I think, is the league adjusting to what they saw the first couple times through. I still think there could be upside out of the bullpen, but again, he's got to come in and throw strikes. So yeah, I just think that it's all part of development. But right now, it's definitely, I mean, because you're not getting Nola back for at least a month.
Yeah, we'll month see. And a half. Month and a half, yeah.
Month and a half. Painter seems like they're just going to make him. And I don't hate the strategy, but yeah, they're making him earn it.
Yeah, they're making him earn it. You know,
they're making him earn it, which is
fine. Yeah, we want him pitching well. And look, again, he is still coming off Tommy John surgery. Like, it does. Uh-huh. Like, I was looking at, I saw a pretty interesting graphic or a tweet where this baseball data guy went through and looked at here. So this guy, John Rogale, went through the Tommy John surgery database of players and like went for the average number of days for various milestones. Like, the average number is 155 to start throwing, 311 off mound, 341 to throw a bullpen, 410 to face live hitters. First game's 508. And it says return to same level, which is obviously a little bit, you know, of a, you know, what is the same level, all that. But it says 614 days, you know, so that's, you know, almost 2 years, and we are not at that point yet. Like, the point being that Painter, especially at his age and stuff, like, he will probably not get back to what he was before until next season, most likely, you know?
Right. Which, again, is fine. Like, I just
totally fine. Yeah, absolutely.
This is the tough part about baseball and prospects is, and not to steal a hinky term, but it's not linear. It's
nice.
It's just usually right. Not linear.
It's not. I mean, it's really not. Yeah.
And by the way, even the awesome level prospects, guess what? They're probably going to come up and struggle. And then
it'll be like Jackson Holliday, who's the number one prospect in the sport. He's still figuring it out. He's a kid, you know?
Very rare that they come up and that, I mean, like, Acuna came up and was amazing and never stopped being amazing. Tatis came up and largely never stopped being amazing. Like, you have some unicorns. Trout came up and got sent down and then came back up.
Yeah, Trout sucked for a month. He sucked and got sent down, then came back up and was amazing. But yeah,
was Mike Trout. Yeah. So that's the tough part it's a tough part when you love prospects because you want them to just come up and be awesome, but you have to sort of look at it holistically. So yeah, Abel's going through it right now. He's going through growing pains. It's always going to happen. I know there was probably a fear of like, oh, this is hurting his trade value. I don't think it's hurt it at all. I think one of these other pitching development teams, you're like, there's still enough there. He's 23. Take a deep breath. And then Painter, it just might take a little bit. He's not like, I think when you look at, you look like Skeens, right? And you look at Chase Burns, who is coming up on Tuesday. If you are in a fantasy league and you have not picked up Chase Burns yet, he's the best pitching prospect in baseball, and he could be Skeens. He's amazing. So I sent you that text at 11:30.
I know.
And I was very excited about Chase Burns. But I made sure I added him in our league before.
I saw that. That was good work.
And I did make a miracle run to save a 6-4.
I know. Unbelievable. I checked in on Saturday. I was like, oh, I'm beating you 9-1. I'm feeling good. And no, it didn't work out.
A miracle run on Sunday.
You're still paying attention, which is a rarity. So, you know,
dude, I'm managing four fantasy baseball leagues with two kids right now. You want to talk about firing on all cylinders? I mean, this is a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of work, honestly. It's, you know, it's
on top of the afternoon show.
Yeah.
I got three fritz at sixes this week with two leading offs that go until about 7:30.
Look at you, buddy. hardest working man in showbiz, you know.
Built different. But everyone tells me I'm lazy. It's just sickening. Speaking of me, would never do that.
Your favorite topic. Yeah, you're good.
Right before we started recording this podcast, the 1500 books showed up on my parents' parents' doorstep. So I can confirm it's not a Ponzi scheme. You're not being ripped off.
People were starting to wonder, you know.
There's a lot of buzz. Did Fritz really write a book? Because
it wasn't
all fake.
Looking good for you. Yeah. Was this just some bit that he thought would be hilarious and steal
and
money?
And I did put it out.
Yeah.
I did put it out on April Fool's Day. So that could
have been. True. I didn't think about that. Yeah. That's a good point. You had to do the whole not a joke, guys.
Well, I hate April Fool's Day.
I hate April Fool's Day. It is my least favorite thing on the planet. I hate anyone who even does like a. I'm clearly joking. It's a joke. I hate it. I hate everything about it. It is the worst. I'm very with you on this.
Thank you. So, but either way, the book is officially here. So if you haven't pre-ordered yet, we're going to extend pre-order by a week.
Ooh.
So the pre-order deal is this. First off, you're getting it before Amazon. So that's huge. Amazon's not getting it until the end of July.
Because people are saying they can't wait. That's the thing. You know, they cannot actually physically make it the extra time. So it's important.
Yeah, see, I don't like when you try to do sarcasm on me. don't. We've done this show for too long for you to start trying to reverse roles here, okay?
It's disgusting. I saw an opportunity. So, I had to take it.
So the pre-order deal is this. You'll get a signed copy. If you want me to personalize it, you can let me know.
Oh, yes.
Whatever it takes. You're not getting signed copies from Amazon. So free shipping. But if you live close enough, I'm going to be dropping it off at your house. I'm not paying for shipping.
Oh, look at this. Door-to-door service. This is amazing.
Come on, man. Are you kidding me? If you're in the area, I'm not.
Oh, I love it.
We're not going to shipping. But This is a real mom and pop operation we got going on over here. This is we are not some big entity. So yeah, the books have officially arrived, and you have one more week to pre-order, and there it is.
Love it. It's exciting. No, it's really thrilling. Honestly, I'm very proud of you, buddy. For someone who doesn't read books, the fact that you wrote one is pretty amazing, and I do appreciate
it. I'm very curious if you're gonna read it.
Oh, I'm gonna read it. I bought it. You know I bought it. Yeah.
Are you gonna get ink under your fingers, or are you gonna be a Kindle?
No, well, I bought it, so I'll do the ink in this case. You know, I'm a Kindlesman in general, but look, I love to read.
I do like that you agree with me that listening to an audiobook doesn't count as reading.
It's nonsense. We have language. We can say, I listened to it. I heard it. I know what's in the book. You didn't read it. It's crazy. Like, I couldn't believe Spike was arguing the opposite side. Spike is a smart guy. Like, one of the dumber things he's ever said.
Yeah, a lot of dumb things he said last week.
it was a tough week.
At least top 11 weeks over for people, is that?
Yeah, it was a thrill. Caused quite a stir.
Although I think this week is quarter century week on the Midday Show, so we're going to keep listing things.
Oh, good. We love lists as long as certain people aren't allowed to fill them out. Yeah. All right, let's get back to the fills here. You know, trying to be a professional. We'll get to the take back in a couple, but the Harper thing, because he did talk last night on the broadcast. It was like, yeah, one sentence, I'll be like, oh, I feel good. Then the next sentence, I'm like, oh no, I feel bad. And it's like, I'm swinging a bat, so that's good. But like, just starting the process, don't really know. But it's feeling better. But it could come back because it can't. Like, it was just like, I felt like I was wrapped around in circles hearing him talk. I didn't know if it was good, if it was bad. Some parts of it were good, some parts were bad. Like, I don't know what to feel or think with Bryce Harper right now. I'm happy they're winning. I'm hoping, to your point that you made a million times on this pod since he got hurt, like, I'm hoping he doesn't rush back or feel like he has to rush back because they're winning. That's great. But I don't know what to make of this whole thing. Like, is it going to come back immediately? Is it something that's just going to play through? Like, it's a weird one, Jack.
It's a totally weird one. And I just want to get this little precursor out or disclaimer. The Phillies have played well without Bryce Harper. That doesn't mean they're better without Bryce
Harper. Thank you. I'm just. Please, yes. Can we stop?
They can't win the World Series without Bryce Harper being a part of it. You know, like I just, and like quick side note, because people love to bring up the Nationals thing. Like that team was sick, man.
That team was freaking loaded, like load stacked. They had Scherzer and Strasburg at the top, and Strasburg was like the one great year he had. Like,
well,
they had Corbin, who was awesome that year. They had Rendon and Soto and like dudes everywhere, like Schwarber, like
and Turner.
Yeah, Turner. Like they were freaking awesome. Or I guess not Schwarber, I meant Turner. They were awesome. Yeah,
and they had peak Daniel Hudson. They had Sean Doolittle. I mean, they were just, it's a loaded team, man. Yeah, it's a loaded team. I don't know what to tell you. Like, they probably could have won the World Series with Bryce there. You know, whatever. So I just like the whole, like, first off, it's not like they're getting great production from first base without him. I'm sure that it would be good to have him in the lineup. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I really don't know what to think. I felt pretty positive after last night listening to him. But again, like, it's one of those things where I wish there was a surgery. Like, I wish that there was something that could fix it, and theoretically he'll be fine in a month or a month or two. And it really just reminds me so much of the Embiid injury.
Yeah, it was as you were talking there, I was thinking the exact same thing, where it's just like there's no magic surgery to fix it type of feel, you know?
Right, and that's my fear. Now, I do wonder if he's like, I'm sure he has, but I wonder if he's talked to Jason Worth at all. I mean, Worth got cut by the Dodgers because of all this, his wrist injuries, and then was able to, I think he wore like a brace on it, you know, if I remember correctly, during that time, and that might have helped. So, you know, maybe that's something he has to start doing. But I am certainly in, I just wait and see and almost hope. I'm in like a hope and a prayer stage with Bryce and this wrist thing. I have definitely come to grips or starting to realize that the days of him hitting 30 plus home runs might be over. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it doesn't, I think he might just have to be a 290, 25 home run guy, which is fine, but it's not exactly, it's not Bryce. And I think he's dealing with something more in his wrist than just like, it feels like maybe wear and tear, or maybe it's like Utley's knees, but it's in his wrist. I don't know, but it certainly doesn't seem like this is going to be something that, I think this is going to be something he's been dealing with for the rest of his career, it feels like. And that sucks. But hopefully they can find some way to kind of manage it and work his way through it, and to where he can at least feel comfortable. And then he can get a pretty good version of Bryce. But man, it feels really ominous right now with where we're at with him and the wrist injury.
Yeah. Next 6.5 years of the contract that's left, it's incredibly concerning, because it does seem like a, chronic type of thing that keeps coming back, that lingering, that no matter what they do to fix it, it wasn't even the wrist that got hit. It's because his elbow got hit that caused this to happen again and stuff like that. It feels like something that is, you know, not, to your point, something that they could just cure and not worry about it. Now, it does, you know, you hope that he can play through it. As we know, he played with it last year. I think he can have stretches. You know, all you need is playoff Bryce for a month and you can win the World Series, you know. So, but I agree with you. It's definitely, I was encouraged compared to what we had heard recently with what I heard last night. But at the same time, it just does feel like there's no real answer, and it's a hope type of thing. And that's concerning.
Well, and Dombrowski said that he's cleared, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he can play. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, and wow.
And Bryce, the one that's just not comfortable, which is crazy, going out there yet.
Yeah.
And what makes it even more concerning is Bryce is always a guy that wants to be out there.
That's like the point. He like forced his way back on the field. Again, he played in Toronto after, like, he clearly shouldn't have played in that series, you know.
No.
Yeah.
No. So. So, and that's, that's part of the concern here, is that he's not Embiid from the standpoint of, like, I think Embiid can kind of check out and not want to be out there.
Agreed.
But Bryce wants to be out there. And by the way, like, he has to be 100% aware of what this time period in his career has to be. Of course, the ring is important to him. We know that. But this is counting stats time. This is counting stats for a Hall of Fame resume. This is on the run for 400. This is on the road for 500. Yeah. Feels like a stretch at this point, but you know, so he knows that he, these kind of years do matter, and he's just missing chunks and chunks. And again, credit to the Phillies. They've totally rebounded and they're playing pretty well, you know, without him out there. But for this team to win the World Series, they need Bryce to be close to Bryce. So again, you can win as many games as you want in the regular season without him. But when it comes to the postseason baseball, they're going to need him out there. And he'll get out there. I just wonder what version it's going to be of him.
Yeah, it's the most important running storyline with the team this year. Like, it, to your point, you know, they can't win, in my opinion, they can't win the World Series without him. They need him. He is too important, and they need a good version of him. So you hope that this rest helps, and, you know, he can kind of really take his time and get back, and maybe, you know, you get that time where it's not bad for a while and it gets bad later or whatever. We'll see, but hopeful. One more thing before we get to take back, because it is related to Bryce in a way. How about Otto Kemp, man? Just keep, look, the power hasn't been there, but, you know, cliche, but it's for a reason. Like, he's just a ball player. The dude just is a winning ball player. He makes plays, whether it's beating out a double play at first to score a run, whether it's, you know, making plays on defense, whether it's just grabbing a glove and playing left field for the first time ever. Sure, why not? Like, I mean, you know, he's had a four-hit game. He's had multiple three-hit games. Like, Otto Kemp has been a winning player for this team. So, A, the Otto thing, but also the, you know, that is the question when Harp comes back. You know, what do I think? Obviously, I think he stays on the roster at this point. He's been too good, but, you know, do you want Otto coming off the bench? You know, how do you kind of manage that stuff? Can he play left field consistently? Where are you at on the Otto thing?
Yeah, I think I got to see him out there more. I didn't think last night was there was that one ball that was kind of in the gap where I was like, I don't know if he's got the range out there. I think he can stand in the outfield.
Yeah,
I think he can stand in the outfield, but I don't know if he's going to go out there and be able to make a ton of plays. So, yeah, I think, and the one thing you didn't mention there from a winning ball player standpoint, loves to get hit by pitches, man.
Yeah, you're right. It did in the minors, doesn't the majors. You're so right. And even looked at bunt like a few weeks ago when he came in and had to bunt, like lays down a perfect bunt. He just feels like a ball player.
Yeah. Now, I am sick and tired of the Division II disrespect I'm hearing on all these broadcasts. Mm-mm. A lot of like, oh, mm-mm, he came from lowly Division II. How could anyone ever make it from a Division II program? By the way, I need to go see whatever his college field is, because he keeps saying that's the most beautiful field he's ever played on. I think it like overlooks the San Diego Harbor, which sounds pretty gorgeous. Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good. But hold on, you play in CBP right now, so maybe let's tone it down a little bit.
Yeah,
tone it down. But yeah, the every broadcast being like, oh, there he is. The underdog story.
What a miracle this little guy has been able to make it happen. Yeah, it's a little demeaning. Yeah.
Chaz McCormick ended our entire lives with a playing center field at a Division II level. Joey Wendell, an all-star at the major league level. Now I understand the PSAC is a level up compared to where Otto Kemp played. But it's just Emilio Pagan, by the way, is a Division II
there you go
hero. Dan Altavilla, Tim Mesa. How much more do I need to prove to you?
No more.
We're not just the little engine that could. Yeah, we're not the little engine that could. You're all right on Division II talk?
Yeah, no one said anything. But yeah, go ahead. You're good.
Lou Trevino, who threw a one-hitter against us in college. He was disgusting. Tim Mesa shoved. Anyway.
He said Tim Mesa.
Enough of the Division II slander. We chose Division II, or at least that's what they told us. but yeah, he's doing a better job. He doesn't look lost. Him against spin is going to be an issue for a little bit but against fastballs, he rakes. I am going to need him to hit a ball out of the ballpark.
Well, he hit that fly ball last night. It was like, and it ended up not even in the warning track, but off the bat, it was like, oh no, it's just a fly out. But it was like, wow, like I can't believe he hit it in the air. What a thrill.
He just reminds me of like a Cardinals type player.
Yeah,
Or like a Dodger that just comes up and like Carson DeMartini, when he eventually comes up, I think him and Kemp are like similar. I think they're winning players that can play all over the place. They don't feel like they're a waste of time at the plate. And I would definitely get him accustomed to playing left field. Now, Stott had a good weekend, mostly, and he had a good couple games down in Miami, mm-hmm. so maybe he's coming out of whatever rut he's in. As soon as I put him on zero watch, he started, you know, going off, which is how this whole thing works. Maybe I'll put Harper on zero watch. Ooh. I need to put Harper on zero watch. Bryce, you're officially on zero watch. It's
yes!
over, pal.
Oh,
yep, it's over. We'll see if you can ever bounce back from this injury. So you are officially on zero watch as Stott is exiting being on zero watch. Might as well put Kepler back on zero watch.
Yeah, might have to put him back on. I agree.
Regardless. By the way, speaking of left-handed hitting left field options, Mickey's got 11 home runs.
Oh, dude, Mickey's been white hot, dude. Another one yesterday.
You little side-by-side of Kepler and Ammonia.
Why
Tell
not
me which
Mick?
Player you'd rather have.
Why not Mick? Why not
Bring
Mick?
Him home. Bring him home.
Play center for you if you need it.
No.
Well, all right. Shout out to the Miller Lite Bar of the Week. Our Bar of the Week this week is the Morrisville Tavern in Morrisville, where you can watch all Phillies games with a $3 Miller Lite can special. Go to MorrisvilleTavern.com. All right, take bag, Fritzy.
All right, what do I have in the take bag today? Oh, I tell you what. Casty, since the benching, has
swung
it. Very...
It's actually, here's an actual fact. He has swung it at every first pitch of the at-bat. I'm not sure, but doesn't it feel like, has he seen two pitches in an at-bat since the outfield thing? Feels like every first pitch is like bang, bang, let's go. Ah, he's running angry. He looks like pissed off.
I know.
Yeah.
Pissed off Casty might be an issue. He's
Now can we be fair with like the worst read on a fly ball in the history of have you ever seen a guy standing in the foul territory as the ball drops fair? Like that was crazy at a night game. Like that was so wild. Anyway.
Just gotta watch the games.
It was unbelievable.
Still hasn't made an error, though. So that doesn't fit your narrative.
Well, you're right. Yeah, that's how it works. Nice.
Doesn't fit your narrative. So, so pissed off Casty, he's actually like roping balls into the gap. Yes. This is as Cincy Casty that Casty has looked. I mean, it's a lot of gap to gap. He hit the home run, which was great. But at least at the plate, I might be seeing some impact. From old Casty.
Yeah, it's a real edge. Like you feel it. He. It feels like he's been angry since that you know incident. We'll call it. It feels like he's playing angry, and you know, so far so good. We'll see if it. We'll see if he can stay within himself when the situation presents itself, and you know, maybe not, you know, hack and whatnot. But you know, so far so good.
By the way, if you're a pitcher and you throw him a first pitch fastball, you should just have to walk off the mound. You don't deserve to lose
the game for your team. Yeah, it's a little known rule.
And it is Monday, June 23rd, which means we are 20 days from the MLB draft, and I would just like to officially officially call my shot.
There we go. Because you were for those you know who might have missed it. You've been struggling. Normally, you've got you're picking between eight guys, and you're like, which one do I love the most? This is my guy, whatever. And people might not remember Aiden Miller was officially your guy that year when they drafted him at 27.
Well, no, let's not lie to our listeners. I thought there was no shot Aiden Miller would be.
No,
there.
You wanted him. You didn't think he was going to be there. But my point is, you were like, correct. I would love to get this guy. I just don't think they're going to. But you know what I mean? Like so. You've been struggling.
Have been struggling, but also been diving deep into the research.
You know, doing the work.
Well, it's like, yeah, because like I was disappointed in myself. Everyone listening was disappointed.
We all were. Yeah, we all were.
So
yeah.
I'll have more names as we get closer and closer. But on Monday, June 23rd, the draft is, will be on a Sunday night. So, you know, it's not exactly synced up perfectly. But with their first round pick, the Phillies are going to select Sean Gamble. Sean Gamble is a jack of all trades. He can play center field. He can play second base. He can play shortstop. I wouldn't say he's plus at any of them, but he is a chance at a – he's a really tooled up guy at the plate. A little on the small side for now, but he's – like he could put on. He's
gonna
put on
high school or college
weight.
Kid.
We don't draft college kids. He's a high
figured,
school kid.
Come I figured on. I was just asking.
Yeah. So he's from Des Moines, Iowa, but then transferred to IMG and
got a lot of luck with Iowans lately in Philadelphia. Just saying. You know,
I know. So he had like a 1300 OPS at IMG last year. He's been on the circuit for a long time. There might be some prospect fatigue there, which is where Brian Barber locks in, you know, a guy who's been around for a while. But like people saw like Painter. No one felt like talking about Painter
totally.
Anymore. And then he fell to 14.
Miller had that injury. The hamate bone thing. Yep.
It seems like the kind of guy that they go for. But he's also 19 on draft day, which always scares some of the model heavy teams. But he's a really, really, really twitchy kind of athlete at the plate. And just in watching some interviews with him, like 10 out of 10 makeup, like love an it. Unbelievable kid. Had like a 4.4 GPA in high school. What a nerd. And he's committed to Vanderbilt and all that
like
good 4.4. stuff.
4.4. What's the point when we're good? Like 4.0, right? Like that's
when I was growing up, it was a 4.0.
It was 4.0. Like that was it. That was like 4.4. Like, what are we doing here? You know? Anyway.
Yeah. Reminds me of Johnny Damon. Damon.
I like that guy.
Not like probably not the defender that Damon was, but I think at the plate, there's more power projection there with him. He could be Pete Crow Armstrong, not defensively, but at the plate, he could be Pete Crow Armstrong. Good. Yeah. So,
by the way, just real quick, something that we don't do enough that I'll bet you a lot of our listeners don't know. I would just like to remind everyone, because we don't bring it up enough. Pete Crow Armstrong was a Met and was traded to the Cubs. We just don't talk enough about the fact that they traded Pete Crow Armstrong away. I want to make sure we keep that alive. And it's something that Mets fans hear constantly, because he was a
for 2 months of Javi Baez.
That's exactly
for
right.
2 months.
So just, I don't think we bring that up enough. I just want to get that out there. So
nice. And thank we you. Now own the Mets. So it's all good. Yep. We own
Sean Gamble.
Mets.
Sean Gamble.
Sean Gamble. Okay. Sean Gamble. He's going to be all the right. pick in the first round.
Love it. All right. We'll have more draft stuff, obviously, over the next few weeks.
Obviously.
Astros 2-3.
Praying for 2-3, yeah. And I think
I don't feel comfortable facing the Astros. They could be bad, and they're not bad, but like that, the Astros could be in last place in the AOS, and I'd still be like, Astros.
Yeah, there's something about that. Yeah. Well, actually, it goes back to 2012. Like people will bring up. Well, actually, it goes back to that entire run. Actually, it goes back to Craig Biggio in 2005 when
actually.
Yeah. It does go back to Biggio. Biggio hit the home run to sink the Phillies wild card chances
You're
in like
right.
2005
yeah.
or six or whatever. Five had to be five because they traded everyone in six. But and that's when Harry let out the all the runs are unearned, but who cares?
Yeah, that was, I forgot about that. That's such a good one. Who cares?
So it goes back to then. Now they did clinch the division against the Astros in what? In 2009, maybe? 2009, I think, they clinched the division. Because Lidge was horrible that year. And then to get his confidence back, they brought him in to make the final out, even though they're up like 10 runs.
Yeah.
They opened up the season in 2011 against the Astros. And John Mayberry Jr. hit the walk-off, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then 12, they went down there with a chance to really get back into the race and got swept by a team that won like 60 games. So there's a lot of – before the 2022 World Series, there's already a lot of bad Astros vibes out there. So Framber tomorrow night. Framber's like starting to strike people out at an absurd rate. And then they do have to face Hunter Brown on Thursday, which I'm not looking forward to facing Hunter Brown.
Yeah. No, but you know what? We got pitchers. What a thrill that we get to roll out friggin' Suarez, Sanchez, and Wheeler in this series. So it's like, okay, I got a shot, you know?
Yeah. No, it's a good series.
It's a good trio to roll out there. Yeah. No, and it is good, too, especially after the highs of this series. You know, it felt big. It felt like a playoff series. It felt like these guys were locked in. Day off today to see them ratchet it back up and kind of keep that energy, I think will be important to see. So, all right. We'll be back after the Astros series. Remember, don't forget this. If you take anything away from this podcast, it's this. You still have time to pre-order Jack's book. You got to get on it now. Ringthebellbook.com. Get on it. We'll be back later in the week. Until then, he's Fritz M. Seltzer.